Welcome to the Hoof and Fang Podcast. I'm Kurt Graves.
And I'm Maz Maddox.
How's your week going?
Long. This cool. is another day where it was a walk immediately out of a meeting and sit down for a podcast.
Right, yeah.
So my brain's a little fuzzy at the moment. But
I do feel so bad for you that you have to work a whole day.
No, a whole day. What is this?
A whole full day.
It's like being in prison. No, it is a, it's just one of those things. But yeah, no, it's going. It's ramping up for a big release at work. So it's been kind of back to back to back meetings and stuff. And then, next week, what day is it? Tuesday? Yeah.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah. So next Monday, the entire apartment's going to be packed up and empty. So less than a week, all of our stuff is going to be en route to Arkansas. So that's kind of wild. Yeah. So it's happening. Woo. Freaky.
Woo.
Woo. Woo. It's like, it's exciting and nerve wracking and awful and great all at the same time.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, how is Alex handling the transition? Maybe more importantly, how are Alex's friends handling it?
So I don't know if we've discussed this before on the podcast, but we love all of our friends, but there's one friend in particular who's absolutely madly in love with Alex, and he has been very depressed since we've announced that we're leaving. Mm. But he's been trying to hang out with us more, and we've been doing board game nights and stuff with him and his girlfriend, so...
Well, that's inconvenient.
Yeah,
as you're trying to pack up your whole life.
Yeah, I'm just tired. And like, it's one of those things too, because I feel like such an asshole because I'm trying to make time to like hang out with people and see them before we leave. But my energy is just not there.
Yeah.
So I get off of work and they're like, oh, hey, let's go hang out or go do board games or whatever. I'm like, no, I want to sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything. I'm very tired.
So. Hopefully, like maybe during the last week, you'll have like a burst of like, we got to take advantage of the fact that this is the last week.
Yeah.
And then the adrenaline will run or something. But at this point, when it's still a couple weeks away, it's got to just be like, there's just so much to do.
And like, if I have a moment where I can like not be doing something, I kind of just want to be a lump on the couch and just let everything wind down.
No.
Yeah, it's been a week and it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday. How about you? How's your week going?
My week has been easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So I left myself because I didn't know how long Save the Vampire was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I actually scheduled more time than I need for it.
Oh, cool.
So I'm moving into it real leisurely. Like, really taking time to prep, going and finding all the character voices that I didn't already make samples of in the previous book, which I should have because then it would make life easier for me now.
Right.
But now I have to go find them and just make sure that like I have everything, all my ducks are in a row.
Yeah.
So that was most of yesterday. And then I slept like shit last night. That's so like today I was like, we're going to do a little more prep work. We're going to read a little bit more. But I was like, I don't have to start, and I'd rather not start feeling so tired.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, this is fine. I can start tomorrow.
Yeah, good.
And like record in earnest through this week and next week. It's not due till next Friday.
Oh, nice.
So it's like,
oh, you got plenty of time.
I have time.
Awesome.
I have time.
I also forgot that the Save the Vampire was coming up so fast because I knew it was March.
So fast.
I know. We're in the throes of March now.
It's March.
Like, yeah. But like time is nonsense to me right now. But I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that you were going to start recording that.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Yeah. I think I've Tantor said that the release date's in May for this book. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Based on
this is awesome.
How they turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
They like to take their sweet ass time on those pickups.
Don't they? They really do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's kind of cool that you're working on
one
of mine.
Right.
So cool.
Yeah. Just, but except I'm not actually.
I know.
I mean, I guess I am.
You kind of are.
It doesn't feel like work until I actually have to like sit in the booth for several hours a day, but I've been prepping it.
Sweet.
Getting it ready. Feeling ready to, wrap up this trifecta.
Yeah.
Trilogy. That's the word I was looking for.
I had to dig for that one. I wanted to say series, which is technically right.
But yeah, but
it's not a big series.
Right.
Yeah.
This, and you never know.
Yeah, true.
Future stories could come, but this trilogy.
Yeah, this trilogy. You know, I do have an idea for it extend, like doing a, what is it, like a branch?
Mm-hmm.
A runoff? That's not the word. Spinoff.
Spinoff.
Runoff. Like
runoff.
Sludge.
Well, you know.
Whatever. But yes, I might chase that down maybe once we get moved. it'd be kind of fun to get back because that could be right. the thing.
I mean, what
gets
else
back.
Are you gonna do?
No shit. Like, I don't know anybody out there. What am right. I gonna be in nature all the time? That's mm-mm. stupid. So, yeah, I want to try to get back in the flow of writing. So I might chase right. down this idea. So
I wonder what there's got to be other authors there.
Yeah, man, you know? There's got to be. Yeah, I haven't even begun that journey, but.
There's got to be writers in yeah. that neck of the woods.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
only for the fact that, like, you're working for a very large corporation, mm-hmm. there are going to be people whose spouses
yeah.
are the primary breadwinners mm-hmm. at very high levels of that company.
Yeah.
That allows them to be, like, creative entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's got to be some.
There's got to be some. Or maybe you know? Fellow breadwinners who write on the side like me. Possibly.
Maybe.
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 I think that's less likely.
Probably. Because the shit's hard.
Most of them are doing it the other way around.
Right, exactly. So yeah, that's a good idea. If you guys know of anybody, let me right. know. But yeah, I need to maybe go into one of those big Facebook
even
groups.
Though we've never explicitly said who you're working for or where you're moving to.
I know, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that makes life a little harder.
Exactly.
that makes making a recommendation harder.
Yeah,
if you want to guess.
Yeah.
Where Maz is moving
somewhere and who she's working in Arkansas, for. Yeah. And if you know Arkansas and the companies there,
yeah.
you probably fucking figured it out by now.
Yeah.
But yeah. So.
Yeah. Cause that would be interesting and good motivation too. Mm-hmm. To like, you know, I mean, I just think you got to find your coffee shop.
Yeah.
The one that's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there for several hours, like on Saturday or Sunday
yeah.
or something, and just like.
Just knock it out.
Be seen writing,
mm-hmm.
and somebody yeah. will find you.
Yeah, it'll be like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be perfect. There is actually a really cool coffee shop that's inside of like a music venue / art museum.
Cool.
That's dope. And they make like artisan coffee, like really bougie. The chick behind the counter has a nose ring and is way cooler than me. You know what I mean?
That is the sign of really good coffee.
Yeah, that's it. And like all of their accoutrements were like bright pastel pink. And I was like, this place is awesome. So I'm probably going to
be easily impressed. I really
am. The coffee was good though.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It was like cool honey deliciousness. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I am easily impressed. Yeah. It doesn't take much. You are correct.
The barista had a nose ring
and she was cool.
And they had odd colored instruments making the
customer
coffee.
For life. Yep. Into it.
This place is quirky. Yes. It's almost like it was designed
mm-hmm.
on purpose to be quirky.
Exactly. They're like, you know what millennials
type
like?
Of clientele. Yes.
Yeah. Now they got my number.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So you already have a place to go
mm-hmm.
hang out. Hopefully the Wi-Fi is good.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even know about the Wi-Fi situation. If they don't have Wi-Fi, then I take back everything I said. And that place is trash.
That's right. Cause you write online, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I've got a cloud base. I use Dabble. So it needs to be on the internets.
Well, then they better get their shiz together.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, so yeah, lots of exciting and scary things coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We that may affect our recording schedule. We don't know.
Yeah, it probably
will. We're being real gentle with the moving gal.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that things will come when they come and
yeah.
everybody be cool.
Yeah, everyone be cool, man. Just let me get settled. We'll figure out a new cadence and then we'll pick back up and it'll be great.
In the meantime, we are still doing our reaction videos to Animorphs, the television series.
Mm-hmm.
We're working ahead on those so that they will continue throughout these next few weeks.
Yeah.
And then when we can figure out a way to do it,
mm-hmm.
the early shift will return.
Yes.
That
probably won't be for a minute, but
we don't know.
We'll make it work somehow. Yeah.
If you're missing a dose of me, however, I have great news for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can get so much of me. Over on the Queers and Quills podcast, which is now releasing episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Pretty awesome.
And with more to come in April and May, perhaps even going up to 3 episodes a week, because there's just a lot of people to get through.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In a limited number of weeks before the convention in May. So
exciting. Yeah,
go check that out if you're missing me. And you have an episode coming up as well. So like, if you really just need Maz and I talking to each other,
there's a
whole episode of that.
Yeah.
Over on that podcast.
Love it.
So I thought we'd keep things light and breezy.
Okay.
Easy breezy. And just play a game.
Okay.
Today. So we've done this before. It's the 10 clues game.
Okay.
So we each have a little pile.
Love it.
And we're going to test each other.
Okay.
And whoever gets answers the quickest will be the winner.
Okay. Excellent. So,
would you like to guess first or give the clues first?
I will give the clues first.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
All right.
Okay. Hold on.
So just make sure you hold it. Pick from the top. Pick from the top of the
Isn't the answer on the pile. Other side, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just don't hold it up in front of your face where I can see it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll keep it here.
Yeah, you can put it in front of your screen. There we go. Just so I can't see the back of the card.
Okay. All right. Name this object.
Okay, object.
I am from the Rose family.
Rose. Okay, so it's some kind of flower? A tulip?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I don't know flowers. This might take a while. All right.
This was one of the ones where I read through it and was like, I would not get this until the end.
Fun.
Because
great.
I am just not smart. Okay. And originally from Asia. Does that help at all?
Originally from Asia. The Rose family. I guess that doesn't mean it has to look like a rose. Orchid?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
China produces the most of me.
Poppy?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I was forbidden once.
Forbidden,
mm-hmm.
one says.
Yeah.
Interesting. What did they... Wasn't that poppies that they made the opium out of?
Yeah, it's a good... Poppy's a good guess.
So, but it's not that.
It's not that.
Because I already guessed poppy. I was forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to just think of flowers that sort of look like roses or have thorns. Crocus.
Mm-hmm. This might help. Give me to your teacher.
Never given a flower to a teacher. What is the appropriate flower? To give
Am I allowed
teacher.
To like
no.
help? Okay.
No. A daisy.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I bruise easily.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, is it an apple?
It is an apple.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wanted to be like, don't focus on flower.
Well,
but I don't know if that would, I was like, I think that would be cheating.
So how many clues did it take for me to,
is
that five
six.
Or six? Okay. So I only get 4 points for that one. Okay. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Name this person.
Oh gosh. Okay.
I think we did this one already.
Oh, okay.
I'm skipping it.
Okay.
Let me see if this happened again. I'm just going to go down a few just to make sure.
Okay.
I've never heard of that person, so I'm not going to make you do that.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Name this person.
Okay.
I am buried in Westminster Abbey.
I have Westminster Abbey. Somebody from that region, I would assume. Is it one of the Beatles?
No.
Okay, cool. Nope, then I don't know.
My birth was a disappointment.
Oh, gosh. Well, I almost said can't relate, but that's not true. And I mean, I don't know who. No, I don't know. That's sad. I'm sad for them, but I do not know. All right, next.
Okay. I never married.
Okay.
Famously.
Famously never married. Famously never married and is a disappointment.
Their birth
was
a disappointment.
I feel like it's like a poet or something, but I don't know.
No guesses?
No, I don't like, I don't know. I don't know enough about like history, I guess.
Okay.
Okay. Keep going.
Sir Walter Raleigh worked for me.
I don't know who that is. I don't.
No context clues that you want to.
I don't know. I'm like
Sir Walter Raleigh.
Oh, sir, okay.
Sir.
So somebody of royal descent, maybe? Okay. Okay.
I mean, who do knights work for?
Okay, so a king of some sort or a queen, disappointing birth, lady, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
It's Queen Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen.
Okay.
The Virgin Queen, famously.
Excellent.
Famously virginal.
Well, there we go.
So she said.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know. She's like, no, our race, we don't need to talk about David. He sucked or something. Just like, take him off the record.
All right. So you got 6 points for that.
Okay. Should I be writing some of this?
Okay. I mean, we'll remember it, right? Yeah. It doesn't really matter, does it?
No, not really.
All right.
Hold on. We did this one. You know what? I'm going to do what you did and maybe just start from the
bottom. How is that possible?
Yeah, because I picked it up. I was like, I remember these questions.
I picked from the middle of the deck and everything because I was like, I can't remember which, if it's top or bottom, that like was the used discarded one. So I'll pick from the middle.
Yeah. Somehow we ended up with at least a couple that we've done before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'm flipping through to make sure I can pronounce some of this stuff. Oh, I'll do this one. I'll do this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Name this place. I was founded by warriors.
I was founded by warriors. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. This is going to be by warriors. So many wars in history. Mm-hmm. Rome.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I was part of a union.
Part of a union.
Mm-hmm.
Founded by warriors and was part of a union.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. Next clue.
Okay. I have 11 time zones.
That's so many.
Yeah.
So that's Russia.
Nailed it.
Yes. I was like, Soviet Union.
Yes. Good job.
Got it.
Good job. Yeah, it only took you three for that one. So
I'm up to 11.
Excellent.
Okay. Name this place.
Okay.
I'm in the USA.
Great. So it's a state of some sort. Texas?
Not Texas.
Okay.
I cover almost 40 square miles.
40 square miles?
So slightly less than Texas.
Yeah, a little bit. That sounds small, but I also have no idea how the range of sizes for states. Is it like Hawaii?
No.
Okay.
I opened my doors in 1971.
Oh, okay. So it's not a state. This is like an actual place. 1971. Not Disney, right? Is it Disney? I think they opened in the 60s or 30s.
Which one?
Oh, Disney World?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's 7 points for you.
I honestly almost did not say Disney, so I skirted past that one just barely. You know what? I give props to, what is that YouTube channel that I like so much?
I don't know.
The one that talks like he deep dives into theme parks and stuff. Oh, crap. I can't remember.
I don't watch it with you. I don't know.
I'm talking to you like we've sat down side by side and watched some shit together. I'll have to look it up. But there's a whole cool channel that they do deep dives into why like certain theme parks failed and like how the origins came to be. And they did a whole thing on Disneyland. Not that it failed, but like the original vision and like why it pivoted and stuff like that. It's really cool. And for the life of me, I can't remember it right now. Anyway, let's continue.
Okay.
The rest of mine are all places. That's funny. All right, cool. Well, we'll go with this one.
All right.
Name this place.
Okay.
Oh my God. Can I say this? Hold on. Let me make sure I can pronounce this.
Well, you have to now.
Yeah, I know. I'm in it. Okay. The Ainu people live here. Probably saying
it. Ainu people. It's Ainu people.
A-I-N-U.
Okay. A-I-N-U. Bora Bora. No idea.
I have over 6,000 islands.
Ooh, Indonesia?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But most people live on 4.
New Zealand? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have an emperor.
Do you now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun.
That is fun.
6,000 islands, but most people live on 4. Mm-hmm. I'm an emperor. Polynesia?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
My flag is red and white.
Oh, God. I don't know fucking flags. Japan. Okay.
You got it. Japan.
Good wow. Guess. I did not know there were 6,000 islands
of Japan. I didn't either. I knew of the one. Well, maybe two, because I've played a game where mm-hmm. you were on a different island, but yeah, no idea. I've learned something today.
Who knew? Yeah. I did. How many did that take?
You got to 5.
Okay. So 5 more makes 16 for me.
Cool.
Okay. I don't know what that is. I guess I'm just assuming that if I don't know what it is.
What was you it? Two, just out of curiosity.
The Beano?
Okay. No, I have no idea.
Yeah. I think it was a publication.
Oh, maybe.
Because it was name this thing, and that's like, did your parents read me or your grandparents? I still come out every week.
Nope, never heard of that.
No, yeah. Okay, well, name this place.
Okay.
I have more than 400 bridges.
London?
No.
Okay.
My clock tower fell in 1902.
Well, shit. London? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, clock tower, bridges. Am I in the ballpark? Like... Is it Europe?
I'm not answering that.
I'm trying to trick you.
You're not getting more clues.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
My glass is famous.
Venetian. Hey.
Which means the place is?
Venice?
I really wanted you to say Venetia. All right, that's 7 more points for you. Yay. I have a feeling you win. Since you consistently got better.
I don't know, luck, I guess? Or
I think I just
brain.
Deliver clues better.
Yeah, I think you do, yeah.
I think it's... Because
I'm just like this, mm-hmm. and I look at you expectantly.
All right. Well, I hope that was fun for you guys listening and watching as well. Maybe you got it a little bit faster than we did.
Probably did.
But... That's it for today. Yep. We do have an interview, an author interview. We got a few weeks ago, we got mm-hmm. to talk to another MD.
Yes.
This time we were talking to a new MD, MD New. We got to talk about his work in queer genre fiction, including some very cool sci-fi and horror books. MD New is an international award-winning, inclusive queer fiction writer with a love for writing and travel. Living in the heart of Silicon Valley and growing up around technology, he's always been fascinated with what could be. When MD isn't writing, he works for a nonprofit and travels with his biggest supporter and his harshest critic, Eric, his husband of 20 plus years. We get into that in the interview.
Yeah, we do.
So here is our conversation with MD New. Welcome to the podcast, author MD New.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We're excited to chat with you.
Mm-hmm.
Our first question for everybody is always the same, which is, what is your author origin story?
So my author origin story is kind of unique because I was not a big reader. In fact, I hated reading.
You were literally the first person to ever say that.
I'd love
really?
That.
Really?
It is refreshingly honest to hear that.
Oh, yeah. I hated reading because I'm dyslexic. Mm. And same. So reading was really hard. And it was like, oh, God, you're going to make me read something. No. So I never had that passion for reading. I got into high school, and then, of course, I had to read, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I always loved telling stories. I always loved, like, being, you know, just telling stories, fabricating stories, creating stories, and all that. And I thought, you know, and I never gave it much thought. It was just like, okay, I've got this really creative mind that likes to make stuff up, so that's what I would do. And then, you know, as I was growing up and getting older in the 80s, you know, I mean, we all saw, well, not maybe not. Well, everybody should know what Star Wars is, I would hope, right? Yeah. You know, fingers
I
crossed.
I would think so.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's unavoidable. Google it. Yeah. But when Star Wars came out, yeah, right?
If you don't, take a moment, Google it, and welcome to planet Earth.
Yeah, I was about to say, welcome to the past, like, 40 right. years. Yeah.
So, you know, Star Wars comes out in like, the late 70s and 80s, and, of course, you fall in love. I fell in love with it. But as I grew up, and I watched all these movies like Poltergeist and Star Wars and little later, of course, Interview with the Vampire when that came out originally, you know, all these stories, and they had such great adventures and they were so exciting and they were so much fun, but I never saw anybody that looked like me, right? I never saw like a queer character or a gay character. And when you did, they were either killed off right away. They were mm-hmm. in the very special episode, one and done. Maybe yep. they came back again for another very special episode. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you didn't see them. They weren't around. Oh. So I had like all these like stories that I loved, and I loved telling stories because, you know, that's just kind of what it was. So I started like, that's when I started writing. And I started writing these stories that kind of talked about who I was, who I am, who we are as a community, and none of them are about coming out. None of them are about, mm-hmm. you know, the typical, you know, drama and trauma. It's always about having adventures. So all of my characters are just these normal, everyday people that go on these and have these wonderful adventures. And that was, to me, why I got started in it, because it was just, I really wanted to tell stories that, you know, somebody could just pick up, a queer kid could just pick up, or a queer adult could just pick up, sit down and read it and be like, wow, I got to go on this adventure. And it was me doing that, not somebody who I didn't know or yeah. that I can't relate to. So yeah, that was kind of what got me going into it.
How long ago was that, that you started sitting down and being like, I'm going to start writing my own stories?
So in college I took, acting class, and you had to write some stories. So that was college, and I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was. look at the gray and the goatee and you can do some math. But so that was when I started really thinking about it. And my first story, which ended up being my, sci-fi story, started off as a family drama for that class. And it just never went anywhere, right? It was just like, it was a boring family drama, and it was just like so stupid. And I finally, one day I was just like, you know what? I just wish aliens would come and blow you all up. And then the voice in the back of my head said, but I would never do that. My people would never do that. And that was one of the main characters of the sci-fi story. And she just popped in there, and it just changed everything. And so that happened probably in the mid 2000s, so, you know, thereabouts. So it was, you know, probably this 10-year period where I was just working on that sci-fi story and figuring out what this whole writing thing is, and seeing just how terrible I actually was at it, and then learning and improving, and you know, going and starting some writing workshops and just going from there. So it took probably a good 10, 12 years to get that one story put together.
I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
That is very encouraging. Mm-hmm. We've had some lovely people on the podcast before who've been like, I don't know, I just decided one day to write a book, and then like 4 weeks later it was done. And I just, it's like, well, that's not something I can replicate.
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm nice still amazed at people who can do that.
Yeah. It's so impressive. Nice to hear, like, no, it is work, mm-hmm. and it takes time, and you have to go through a period of not even liking what the final product is, but learning from the experience so that it can make the next thing better.
Yeah.
I feel comforted when I hear that, because it makes it seem like, oh, it's not impossible for somebody like me to maybe one day do it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was painful. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, my husband, I gave it to him finally at one point, and just to get some feedback, and he read probably the first, I want to say maybe 20 pages, mm-hmm. if he got that far. Okay. And he said, this reads like a textbook. This is terrible.
No.
And it was like,
yeah, right.
You know, it was like,
you said this is a current husband?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so, you know, okay.
This is the one. You know, when they say for good, better or for worse, well.
They meant yeah. this moment.
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't say it in a mean or hurtful way. He was yeah. like, it just, and he's an avid reader, so he reads continually. I mean, he probably reads 20 or 30 books a year, maybe, or more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, he was like, you got to do something with this. So mm-hmm. I did. And then I went back to work on it for probably mm-hmm. another year. And I cried a lot, because he hated it.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. But you know, so you just work on it, and yeah, it was definitely a painful process to get it where it is now.
Right. I mean, if you can't hate the work of someone you love,
right.
How?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I would imagine too, he was probably like, how do I politely tell you, you have to, like, you know,
it depends things. On how long they were married.
Yeah, true.
you pass the polite threshold after a certain number of years.
I guess that's yeah. fair.
Yeah. I would love to say that that's what he did, but no.
I mean,
yeah. he's pretty much all about the truth and he wasn't going to mince any words.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, so, wasn't saying it, like I said, to be hurtful or
to right. He was trying to help, which is yeah. Which I think you need that as a writer. You need somebody to just let you know if you suck, you know, or like how you can improve, you know, like because if he's just like it's great, well then you're gonna put mm-hmm. something out that is not where it could be. So
yeah. So did that first book? Is that something that ended up going out into the world?
Yes, that was actually okay. The book that got picked up by my publisher. That was the awesome. One that, like I said, it took a long time to get there, but I finally submitted it to a publisher and they got back to me and were like, yeah, we like this. Let's do it.
Awesome.
And I was like, okay. Are you sure?
It is my book you're talking about, right? Yeah.
Because my husband said. Yeah.
Because the first my review was not great.
Have some words yeah. with you about this. Right. I don't know.
What is the title of that first book?
So that one is the sci-fi book is Contact. So it's okay. my A New World series, and that one is Contact. So there's Contact, Conviction, and Conspiracy.
Got it. So what was the process like after that first book? You've gotten one out of your system. You already mm-hmm. have a publisher. How far into books 2 and 3 were you by the time somebody said, yes, we're going to push this into the world?
So book 1 was actually completely written and I was already working on the draft of book 2. So when they got book 1, they did a couple things. So that was the first book I submitted to them. That was not the first book they published.
Oh, interesting.
They said, we like this, but it's too long and we need to break it. Do you mm-hmm. have anything else? And I said, well, I've got a couple short stories. And they were like, well, send us the short stories. So I sent those. And the editor who I was working with really liked those. And so they published those first. And then they were like, hey, we really like this. Do you have anything else similar? Mm. And I said, well, I've got a vampire story. And I said, you know, so if you're interested, I can send that. He said, yeah, send it over to us. So I sent that over and they picked up that one. So actually that one was after the short stories, that was the first one they published. Contact came later because we needed to break Contact into mm-hmm. 2 books. So it was this long process of they had that one, but we were working on it much longer. And so they wanted something else in the meantime. And even though I had only, you know, finished Contact, which then became Contact and Conviction. I had already worked on this vampire story because I love vampires and I wanted to tell a vampire story.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's a very convoluted, very weird way of going about it. But yeah, so that's kind of how that all happened. So
it seems
like out of order.
It mm-hmm. seems like a lot to have to juggle as you're also navigating being published for the first time.
Right. I was just thinking that.
It was challenging, but I had a really good editor. And he really worked well with keeping everything organized, keeping me organized. And he was actually very surprised that I just had all these things. He was like, why do you have all these things? And I said, well, because I worked on them and I just had them. And they were kind of not like my practices, but, you know, you're kind of basically your practice stories, right? Mm-hmm. That's where the short stories came from. They were kind of me throwing ideas around and learning and figuring it all out. And then they just happened to really like them. Not saying that they didn't need a lot of editing, because they did, but yeah, they really liked
them.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool. Like, cause with short stories, I don't think I've ever viewed them as just like fun little playgrounds. Like, I usually am like, oh, I have to write it for an anthology or something, but I'm currently in like a bit of a slump, like writing wise. So the idea of just like starting a short story and just kind of playing around and just letting it be this thing that can really grow into its own, and like maybe one day it sprouts something that can be published. That's kind of inspiring, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, for me, they're not super short, but they are short stories. And
yeah,
I never realized that they were ever going to be published. I mean, I really didn't. But it was just like, look, you want something else, I'm going to send you this. If you don't like it, that's fine.
Right. No. Yeah.
You know, because they were just kind of these fun little stories to write. And I was like, well, let's try working with 17 characters and see what happens with that.
Oh, man, 17.
Well, okay, I'm exaggerating. I think it was more like 10, but still.
Oh, okay, well, still, that's a lot. Yeah.
It was a lot. It was like, okay, and they liked it. I was like, all right.
All right, great. I want to talk about more things, but I'm looking at the covers for your A New World series. Mm-hmm. They're so up my alley that I'm just like, I'm in a sci-fi mood lately. Yeah. So like, can you tell us a little bit more about the books themselves? Like who the characters are and what happens?
Sure. Absolutely. So, A New World series is basically the idea of aliens arrive at our world tomorrow and how we react. So I have three point of view characters. One is Todd, who's the human. One is Mirtoff, who is the leader of the aliens. And then the other is Miko, who is her second in command.
Okay.
So how this all came about was I got tired of seeing the aliens coming and just wanting to destroy us. Cause that seemed to be all we saw for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where the drama comes.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, I want something more like if the Vulcans were to come. Right.
Yeah.
And so again, if you haven't seen Star Trek, stop here, Google it. Welcome back. You know, right.
It's VULCAN, Vulcan.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted something like that, but I was like, okay, but I wanted to place it now. And so I did the idea of these aliens, their world is destroyed. Their world actually blew up in a supernova. So they had time to evacuate, but they could only evacuate so many people. So they put all their efforts into these ships, built them, evacuated as many people as they could, and just started looking for a new home. Well, they start coming, you know, they happen to come this way, and they start picking up our signals, our modern signals. And they see that we've got an international space station. They see that we've landed things on our satellite, on our moon. We've sent things to Mars. They're like, okay. It looked like we had one unified government via the UN. And they're like, they look like they have their stuff together. Let's see where this is going.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And you know, let's make contact with them. And they get here and they realize, oh God, what did we do? I was like, oops. But they have nowhere else to go. So they're stuck. They're like, we've got to make this work. And you have us being us, right? So you see us reacting through Todd and that whole thing. And it's just kind of this whole thing of us learning that, you know, all of our petty differences mean nothing in the grand scheme of things. When all of a sudden you have aliens knocking on your door saying, hi.
Yeah,
you know, and they've got technology that can blow us up, right? So it's not like when you have like, you know, when you were a kid, mom, you know, all of a sudden visitors came to your house. Everybody's like doing a mad dash to clean everything to make sure the house looks really pretty. not realizing that everything was stuffed under beds or in closets. The humans kind of do that at first, but then but then doors get open and things start falling apart. And bigotry rears its ugly head, and there's attacks, and people die, and our main character is thrust into some new positions where he has to deal with being front and center. And, you know, he's not a politician. He's not a diplomat, but through things that happened, he's now in the spotlight, and the aliens trust him because they saw him go through all this stuff and come out the other side and not be this horrible monster. Where they kind of saw through all of our, you know, all of our diplomats and all of our government's BS. But they're not perfect either. So we get to see them through our eyes, and, you know, they're, you know, they kind of, they can be a bit uppity.
It happens, you know.
You know, it's kind of like, you peasants, and we sit there and go, no. Yeah, it's like, no, you guys, look, you guys do this stupid stuff, so we don't even want to hear it, you know.
Right.
So yeah, it's this kind of fun juxtaposition, and you kind of see, in my interpretation of what a true alien contact would be like, if it happened right now, and if they came, and there was no, the government couldn't deny it, people couldn't deny it, they're right there, they're in our face, and we all have to deal with it.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I like that it wasn't a thing that you had to explain to make the story make sense, but I am curious what the queer element was in that book.
The main character, Todd, is gay. He and his husband live in San Jose, and his brother one day, who is estranged because he is gay, appears at his front door, who'd been trying to get a hold of him. He works at NASA. So I live in Silicon Valley, and there's Moffett Field, and which is NASA Ames Research Center now. I put his brother working there. Well, his brother shows up and is like, Todd, listen, you and Jerry, that's not important anymore. We've got something bigger coming, and you need to be ready because no one knows how to react. You know, you have the government being very sneaky, doing things like positioning FEMA places all over the United States. And all of a sudden, you know, for the last 2 weeks, military troops have been being recalled from overseas. And all of a sudden, for some strange reason, all of the International Space Station has been very quiet, and all of their video feeds seem to not work. The large microscopes that we have on the planet seem to have all been taken down for repairs, or, you know, and all of a sudden people are seeing like military moving, you know, but nobody's talking about it because it's just like, whatever, you know. And so you're getting all these bits and pieces. So the queer character is the main character, and him and his husband dealing with this from basically the beginning. And then the aliens also have LGBTQ characters or people representation, and they're how they deal with those characters as well. So you kind of have in their society, they're just like, why is this such a big deal? No one cares. Get over it.
Yeah.
Yes. They're different. We have other things to deal with.
Right. Perhaps you weren't listening when we said our sun exploded.
Right. Yeah.
So we have, and you know,
yeah.
Oddly enough, we didn't blame it on the gay people. I know that we like to do that here.
I know.
We really like to blame natural disasters on sodomy. But
so yeah, so you had that. So that's the big element. And like I said, I really wanted to show the gay characters not the gay being the issue, just like them living their lives. Todd and Jerry are a normal gay couple. You know, they're the typical gay couple living, doing their lives. And all of a sudden, you know, this whole thing is just caught up in their world, and them all of a sudden having to realize that, wow, we've got bigger issues.
And like I said, I like that you didn't have to explain the queer element to make the plot make sense.
Yeah.
Because I also like books where that is the case, that the obstacle is not being queer. The obstacle is something else is going on.
Yeah. Aliens.
Yeah. I mean, it's why we do this podcast specifically about specfic, because I do a lot of contemporary romance, and I like romance, but sometimes it's not enough just to get together.
Yeah.
You know, I like that there's this fully developed world mm-hmm. and characters who we don't need to worry about who they're in bed with.
Yeah.
Or who they're trying to sleep with or who they're trying to fall in love with.
And right.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I will definitely be picking that up. I have a vacation coming up next week. So
now, see, now you've got a
now
whole
I'm kind
set.
Of excited for my vacation reads. And I know you've done a lot in the mix, but I think your latest thing is a horror story.
Yeah, my latest one. So as I mentioned earlier, I loved growing up. I loved the original Poltergeist.
Mm.
You know, that idea of...
No, thank you. No, ma'am.
I was about to say, that was one of the first movies that actually scared me when I was a kid. Like, I love horror movies now. It's one of my favorite things. But Poltergeist legit terrified me as a kid. Like, yeah. That one's up there as a classic.
Yeah, it freaked me out. Because normal American family living in a normal American suburb.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't expect... Yeah. There to be ghosts and scary things. Those were always in the haunted, you know, in the house.
Like obviously, like haunted ones, like the big scary castle houses. Yeah. I'm like, that one's haunted, not like my next door neighbor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's where this story came from. So Golden Hills Haunting is that version of the story. Again, I said it here. All my stories take place in Silicon Valley, so because that's where I live. So I said it here. And what we have, so we have infill. Development here. I don't know if you guys have it where you are, but you take a plot of land that's maybe 2 acres. They'll subdivide it into 10 or 12 houses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this neighborhood is one of those.
Okay.
And this family, I totally forgot the characters' names.
Isn't that great? Well, I think I saw it pulled up.
Let me see.
I have like so many tabs because I was looking at all of your works, especially
I just
the
totally
horror ones.
Blanked, and it's my characters.
I do it too. It's hard. Kyle, Alejandro.
Oh, Kyle and Alejandro. Yes.
Yeah.
And Chloe.
Chloe. Yeah. That's her.
So Kyle and Alejandro decide Chloe was being bullied at school, and during the summer they're like, "We need to move. We're going to change schools. We're going to get her out of this." And so they find this beautiful new house. It's a really good deal in this brand new development that's being built. They
almost
move in.
Too good to be true.
And things start to happen, but not just to them, to their neighbors.
Ooh.
So you have this whole little area where everybody's starting to experience these odd things. You know, at first, things like, annoyances, like you put your keys down and they're gone. You go back from where did they go? You search the entire house, and then your husband or wife come in and go, "You mean the keys that are right here where you always put them?" And of course, you're pissed off. But you know, those types of things start happening, and it progressively gets worse and worse and worse until you know what a police officer. She came to the first couple of calls because it was her area that she worked in. And she was like, "We can't help you. If there's a break in, yes, we'll come. If there's a fire, yes, we'll come. If there's a medical emergency, we'll come. But some of these things that you're experiencing, we can't help you."
Yeah.
That said, I happen to work with a paranormal research group. They might be able to help you.
Yeah.
That's so convenient.
Yeah, well, you know,
plot. Yeah, I love it when things like that happen in books. It's
perfect.
I just so happened.
Yeah.
I just so happened. It all. But even with them, that's not enough. Mm. So you have the religious elements too that are pulled in because one of the neighbors calls the church and says, "We need you to come and bless the house. Something's going on."
Okay, cool.
And the church comes and all of a sudden now you have a paranormal research group and the church who are diametrically opposed to one another, who are now having to work together to help this community for good or for bad.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. I like that.
Because
it's usually one or the other, right? Yeah. Like, because they are opposed. So it's almost like you have to pick your team. So like, why not call in both sides, call in the cavalry and like have them work it out. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And one of the fun things that I did with this was I was able to interview the Bay Area local Paranormal Research Society. So I got to talk to them
Oh, nice.
And find out the things that I couldn't do. which I couldn't have the neighborhood built over a cemetery like I originally wanted to do. They said no. I was like, and then I also
I'm got curious why.
Yeah, is it just like a zoning thing? Like they wouldn't do that?
Or? Well, yeah, there's basically legally you can't do that for a multiple of reasons, but it's also a tropey thing. He was like, yeah, no, don't do that. Everybody does that.
That's fair.
He was like, yeah, that's not usually that's usually not how these things work. And I was like, okay, fine. Be that way.
Then how do they work?
Yeah.
So then he did. And then I also got the opportunity to interview a couple of retired priests. One was a former exorcist. And so
did you record any of this? I want to hear about this.
I could not record any of it, but I did take copious amounts of notes. So yeah, nice. There are things there that are.
When I worked for the Catholic Church, I actually did a whole lesson on exorcisms.
Ooh.
And so I have a book. I think I still have it. I can share that with you if you're interested in
what
the church's official stance and practices are around exorcisms. It's
probably
wild.
Yeah, I was about to say
there are some priests who are trained specialists in exorcisms.
Yeah.
That's
in my day job, I happen to work for a nonprofit that does a lot with the local diocese. We're actually part of the local diocese. And every diocese in the United States has a designated exorcist. You will not know who that exorcist is. He could be your priest at your local church, or he could be a specialist. But yeah, every diocese, and that was mandated from Rome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat. See, I didn't know this. This is like, y'all are going to start like a whole research project.
You thought they were all just bake sales and molesting kids, but no, it's much deeper.
Oh my god!
So that one was a lot of fun. Right?
Yeah, you're allowed to say.
I'm allowed to say.
I just tried to glance over it. I was just like, okay, I'm not gonna skip.
Remember earlier when you said nothing was off topic?
Yeah,
nothing was off limits. If it's scary, not as exciting to me as the cool sci-fi stuff, but you never know.
I think that you have something for everyone because you've got cool sci-fi for Kurt, you've got horror for me, like queer stuff all around. Like I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And as I've acknowledged, reading horror is a different experience than watching a movie. True. There's a lot more control. So
you can just shut the book if it gets too freaky. Yeah.
I'm dipping my toe into the horror waters.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. I had some people who said that. I had one person who told me they love horror and this scared the bejeebus out of them. They could only read it during the day because it was that intense for them. I had another person.
What a great compliment.
Right.
Yeah, that was really like, that just was like, wow. I was walking high on that for a week. I had another person tell me that it was really good. They really liked it, but because of how it's written, they knew that in the end everything would be okay because the story is written from the standpoint of the Kyle character is kind of telling the story.
Okay.
So you know that, at least you assume, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say.
That by the end everything works out because he's able to relay this story, but maybe not. You never know. He could just be crazy. Say,
sneaky authors, they like to throw in some twists and turns.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
You can't even rely on the narrator of a book.
Right.
Because you never know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody's crazy and they think they're Kyle. You don't know. You gotta read the book.
Yeah, people switch up their identities, you know.
Or maybe it's the ghost that possessed him.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you just never know.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But, you know, it obviously that is something that happens in romance a lot that it's like sometimes it's like how high are these stakes really
because it's a romance it's going to be a happily ever after, otherwise it's not a romance.
Right so but when it's horror or sci-fi or something like
you never know.
You just don't know.
Could be eaten or blown into space or
and just because
the ending is not guaranteed
because one person survived to tell the story doesn't mean everybody did.
Right.
All right, so we've talked about your first series, although it wasn't the first thing that came out, and also we've talked about your latest book. Is there anything in between that you would want to make sure you highlight for folks who are learning about your writing for the first time?
So I would say there's a really fun one that I did Well, I think it's fun. And it goes along with the whole combo of kind of the horror and sci-fi is Valaria. It's a very dark story, but it's set 150 years from now, and there's werewolves, vampires, and witches.
Nice.
So I think I know the one you're talking about, because I saw in the like what you wanted to talk about, and I if you didn't bring this up, I was going to demand you talk about it.
Yeah, because it's a lot of fun. It is one of those stories that now, as I've alluded to, happy endings aren't always guaranteed. Now, it doesn't mean that endings aren't satisfying. Yeah. But for this particular book, it is one of those that you go, okay, you know, there are things that happen that you go, it makes sense and it all comes together. But is that the ending that you might not, is it an ending you wanted? Maybe not. Or maybe you did. You never know. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And people always ask, well, how do you have werewolves on the moon? I said, no spoilers. It is explained.
You gotta read to find out. Yeah.
That is every day a full moon?
Ooh, I love it.
They're on the moon.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you just never know.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Did you have anything else you demanded that he was going to talk about?
I know that one of the is okay. So is this the same story that has the interstellar drag queens? I saw that being a thing and I was like, I gotta know what's going on with that one.
So interstellar drag queens, I like that. Yeah. So I coming up as part of an anthology, I have a tie-in novel or tie-in short story that goes with Valaria that is about an interstellar drag queen.
Love it.
So cool.
And that I'm one so is that. That one's just fun. That one I did because I wanted it fun. And I mean, I love drag queens. They're phenomenal. They don't get shown enough love. And I wanted to just give this drag queen just a fun romantic story where finding love and a relationship and still being fabulous and all that all come together. So, yeah.
In which anthology is this going to be part of?
So it is in a upcoming anthology, and it is, oh gosh, do they have the name yet?
I know it was like a future project, so I didn't know if you had that information.
Yeah, it's, let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Basically right now it's titled, it's a drag queen anthology. So it's an Own Voices drag queen anthology. I don't know if there's going to be an official name.
Okay.
But yeah, and it should be coming out in the next couple of months, I think. They're working on it right now.
We'll keep an eye out for it then, because I need that.
Especially if you love drag queens.
Oh, yeah.
And as we always do, we will share your social media and contact information in the show notes. So if you're interested in that anthology, make sure you're following MD New, and then you will get that information when it becomes available. Indeed. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. I feel like we're only scratching the surface, so you'll have to come back for a future conversation to chat more.
I would love it. I would love it. This has been a lot of fun. I love talking about books. I love talking about writing, and I especially love talking about my books and my writing.
Right?
Perfect.
Nothing but good things there. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Many thanks to MD New for coming on the podcast so we could learn more about him and his work. As always, you can find his social media handles in the show notes for this episode. That's also where you can find our individual social media handles as well as for the podcast. Go check us out. Make sure you're following and subscribed. Subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe to Queers and Quills. Get all the gay fiction content your heart could possibly want.
Yes. Love
that. And we'll be back next week, probably.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Bye.